Well, good morning, Saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute, and we are sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. We want to welcome you to our Tuesday morning edition as we continue in sharing with you on being filled with the Spirit of God. We're still sharing with you about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but we are speaking to you all this week about from the aspect of, good morning, Brother John, from the aspect of being filled with the Spirit. We now recognize that the new birth is not applicable for us to live if it wasn't for the power of the Holy Spirit. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit is active in every aspect of the New Testament saint. Now, the ministry of the Holy Spirit has been active throughout the Word, but it's been more in a concealed, shadow type of what we have today as the revealed way of how the Holy Spirit truly ministers through us and to us. You know, it's sort of like Adam. Adam was in a perfect environment when he was created by God. And the Holy Spirit of God was Adam's way of just communicating, because he had God's thoughts, God's ways in everything that he did, because the environment was perfect, Adam was perfect, and there was no devil or anything to deal with, to be dealt with. But then the moment Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all of that changed. And so from that point on, God had to not stop talking with Adam, but he had to use his creation that he put Adam in charge of to communicate with him and all of the Old Testament saints up to Jesus Christ. And so here we are today, when we talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we're not giving you the beginning of the Holy Spirit, but we're giving you the beginning of the Holy Spirit from the aspect of a New Testament believer. And so as we started our lesson, that's what we dealt with all last week. And this week we're talking about being filled with the Spirit. And there are many different components about being filled with the Spirit. Amen. And so the first thing that we did yesterday is that we left off. I want to go back to this prayer in the book of Ephesians, because one of the things about being Spirit filled, there's a way that the Spirit filled believer prays. And that prayer helps that Spirit filled believer in how to behave throughout the rest of his day. In other words, being Spirit-filled, your words are more intentional. Your behavior is more intentional. Why? Because you are very much aware of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit that's inside that you've been filled with. So what you're doing, you're actually allowing the life of Christ. This is how the life of Christ is being functional through you. It is through the ministry of the of being filled with the Spirit of God. Okay? And so here, as we did go back and look here at verse 16 of Ephesians 3, before we get started in that, let's go to make our faith confession. Let's say it out loud once again. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever, whom the Lord has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Again, I want to say good morning to you. That was my open dialogue to what we've been sharing with you and where we are going. And so as we go back to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, and this is from the Classic Amplified version, it says, it talks about in verse 4, let's go back to verse 14. He said, for this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ. Paul said, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, when we bow our knees, we can literally bow our knees, or bowing your knee will be like bowing your will to the Lord. Because, you know, there are many people in the religious cycle bow their knee, but there is no true change. There is no true access to our God, because our access to God is through Jesus Christ. So it's not just the actual knee bowing. It's more of a yielded will. You can, and we should bow our knee as the Spirit of God leads. But when you bow your knee, again, bowing your knee is like saying, I bow my will to the Lord, to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's what a spirit-filled believer do. He or she is bowing their will. And when one bows his will, that means you have bowed to think in a certain way. You know, Romans 12:1 says, and I'm going to read that to you in the Amplified Version right here. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, that you make a decisive dedication in your of your body. See, that you make. See, only a spirit-filled believer can do that. Paul is talking to a spirit-filled Christian. We're not just talking about praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is powerful. Praying in tongues, and we're going to get into that. It's what bring me to this place. But notice he said, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, that you make a decisive dedication of your body. Oh, think about what he said, that you make a what? That you make a decisive dedication of your body. How you gonna do that? You can't do that in your flesh. You can't even do that just being born again of the Spirit, because again, why? The power of the Holy Spirit has, it is assigned to affect the soul salvation that is in you and I. In other words, the soul salvation is something that we have to continually wash ourselves with the Word of God, submerge ourselves in the life of Christ. In other words, to submerge something, that means I have to be thinking on it, have to be feeding on it, and therefore, when I speak, I should be speaking forth of what I've been immersed into. So whatever you've been in, whatever you are immersed into, if you immerse more into religion, to tradition, to old fables, to whatever it may be, that's what's going to come out your mouth. That's the type of stand you're going to take. Well, Paul is saying here that I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God. Why? Because it's a decision that you and I have to make. And that's where the Holy Spirit is. He is there to do what? He is there to help you to bow your will, get you to understand the truth that's already in your born-again spirit, so that you can bow your will, that your will become God's will. And that's why Paul said, I beg of you. Why? Because, well, verse 36 here of the 11th chapter says, it says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. For all things originated with him and come from him, and all things live through him, and all things centered in and tend to consummate and to the end in him. To him be glory forever, and amen, so be it. That's the reason why Paul is begging the church of Rome to do what? To make their bodies become a living sacrifice. Because if you don't, you're not going to be able to experience the spirit for your life. Excuse me. See, just praying in tongue doesn't just simply because you say, well, I do pray in tongue. But just because you say I pray in tongue doesn't mean that you're going to truly be spirit-filled. When we pray in tongue, when I pray in tongue, it curbs my appetite of hate. It curbs my appetite of getting evil. It curbs my appetite of being manipulative or controlling. It curbs my appetite of living life like I still want to live my own life. See, when we pray in tongues, see, this is what it does. So when a person says, I do pray in the spirit, well, guess what it does? It's changing your mindset. Because what it does, it's shutting off your way. It's shutting off your will. And it's giving you the mind of Christ. Now, you already have the mind of Christ in you. But when your will is at stake, it's hard for you to see the mind of Christ. That's why I said that. That's why we're praying this prayer in the book of Ephesians, that it says that he will grant you out of the rich treasure of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man. That's talking about your soul. Be strengthened and reinforced. Why? Because if you're not strengthened, and only the Holy Spirit can bring you to the light, as Psalm 130, 119, 130, the entrance of God's word give light. See, only the Holy Ghost can bring you to a place where your perception is different. Your understanding of why you live your life in the way that you do is different. Why you think different. See, you can't do that on your own. You can't bring about this kind of change in your behavior. No amount of counseling, no amount of psychologists. No, it takes the power in the Holy Ghost to do what? Because he's the only one that can wash out. He's the only one that can uproot. He's the only one that can pull down. He's the only one that can strip away those thoughts you have. Because truly, the Holy Spirit was active with Jesus to do what? To strip Satan. When the Bible said Jesus spoiled, it's talking about the Spirit of Christ that was held in the prison of hell. He stripped. The word spoil means stripped. Stripped him means he left him to naught. With no force, no power, no nothing to do what? To harm. But if you don't hear the word of God and understand why we are filled with the Spirit, why we pray in other tongues, why? Because you're not living life in the physical by itself. You're living life now, and because you're more aware that there is a spiritual realm, and that spiritual realm is functioned by light and darkness. Let me say it to you again. The spiritual realm that you and I live by they are functioned by two laws, light and darkness. Romans 8:2 says, it is for the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. Notice what it said. The spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus has what made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, I'm free in my spirit, but my soul could still be bound if I don't exercise it unto holiness. You understand what I mean by exercise unto holiness? You know, I got you holding in two places. Let's see here. I think 1 Timothy 4. And I want to say, let's see, 1 Timothy 4. And I hope I can find this verse of scripture. That it talk about exercising, you know, bodily exercise, it profited little. But, verse 8, notice this. In 1 Timothy, verse 8, he said, for physical training is of some value. Okay? And it is useful for a little because we're in this world. But notice this. But godliness, spiritual training, is useful and value in everything and in every way, for it holds, watch this, for it holds promise for the present life, right? And also for the life which is to come. In other words, just as one exercises his physical body to be strengthened, you follow what I'm saying? To pick up 500 pounds or whatever, you have to exercise, notice this, your soul unto holiness. And that's what this means. He said, but godliness, spiritual training. See, that's what you're doing right here. That's why when you listen to the word, you're listening to the word for spiritual training. You're training your soul to live out in the holiness of God, of what's already in your spirit. But if you don't exercise, you don't have a way to exercise this holiness, like this body. You know, we all got a bicep. If I don't exercise this bicep, then I'll never, if I desire to pick up a 60-pound dumbbell and curl it 15 times, well, I may not be able to do it right now, but I have what it takes to do it. I have a bicep. But the bicep itself has to go through what? Training. Maybe start out with 20 pounds. Maybe less than that. And you keep working it until the bicep itself become what? Strengthened, that it can hold, it can start curling 60 pounds. Well, it's the same thing about your soul. When it hears the word of God about you walking in God's love, then all of a sudden it's going to start fighting you. Because why? Something hurt you. Someone came against you. Someone spoke against you. And in your tradition, you are accustomed of, you know, speaking back. You are accustomed of getting even. And yet when you read the scriptures in Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, but I say, love your enemy. Pray for them who despitefully use you. How you going to do that? You can't do that in yourself. You weren't raised to do that. You weren't trained to do that. Even if your parent tried to teach you that, you could not live like that. Because why? You were not born. You're not born of God. You're not filled with the Spirit of God. Because you're going to want to retaliate. That's the natural instinct of all of us, is to retaliate or protecting ourselves. But when you understand what is at stake here, then you realize that, hey, the enemy is using this individual. And you, in spite of someone spitting on you or someone slapping, you tell, I love you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, every strain of hair in your back or on, if you got a beard, it may be standing up. But what is it? Because I've been exercising my godliness. I'm exercising the soulless man unto godliness, to be like God, to behave like Christ on the earth. It's restraining me from, it's reframing me from what? Retaliating in the way that a natural-minded person would do. So you see, when you look at, you go back to Romans chapter 12, and verse 1, so when Paul said, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in the view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your body. See, you have to do this every day. It's not just, you said yesterday, well, you know what, Pastor? I've done that yesterday. Good. But guess what? The mercies for the day is different. The adversity of the day was different than yesterday. You're going to need strength in that inner man. You're going to need to be reinforced, reinvigorated in your inner man to do what? To confront the force of darkness that's coming through people. That's trying to do what? Put a stranglehold on your love walk. See, spirit-filled believers understand that. Spirit-filled believers, they get that. So when I say, you know, spirit-filled, then again, this prayer that Paul was given to the church of Ephesus here, it was spirit, these are spirit-filled believers from the book of Acts, all the way through Revelation, you know, up to the first half of the book of Revelation is dealing with the church. It's dealing with spirit-filled believers. Why? Because you don't have the strength in yourself to endure the suffering, to endure the things that come, that will come against you on a daily basis. Are you following me? And so Paul is saying, this is something that you do. Notice this. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice. See, all of your members, everything about you, you're presenting your whole body. When I say your body, you're presenting your mind, your will, your emotion. Your emotion has a way of affecting you through your senses, and your physical body is what? The outward present representation of what it is you've been thinking on, the choices you made, because your body will show you. Your body is the outward expression of what you think on, what you've been feeding on, and it will be the response. And that's how many times that we can say, we can, you know, when we know someone and we see them in a light that we're not accustomed to seeing them, we say, what's wrong? What happened? Well, it doesn't mean that we all that spiritual, just that we've been around that person. We've seen that person. We know that's not the way they behave. Now, there are times that by the Spirit of God, you know, the gifts of the Spirit kick in and the Holy Ghost will begin to minister to you in your spirit, you know, about how to minister to that person. But my point to you is that you can see that. And so when you see that, you say, what's wrong? Well, because you know that's not the way they are accustomed of acting. And so here, Paul is letting us know that, hey, if we don't have a way that we every day exercise our senses unto godliness, in other words, you're going to have to work the word in training your thoughts, in training your behavior for you to behave like Christ. And notice this. Praying in tongues help us to get there. Because when I start praying in tongues, it shuts my mind off. And what it does, I have to pay attention to what is coming forth. Remember, words, even though praying in tongues, it is a language that I may not understand, but it is someone's native language. But because I have two things that God gave to all human, image and likeness. Words has a way of presenting an image. Words have a way of you and I understanding. Why? Because the Holy Ghost that's inside of me, when I'm praying in other tongues, I can ask the Spirit of God, what is it that I'm saying? What are you saying to me? What are you speaking through me? Now, this may be a new wrinkle to your brain, but he'll talk to you and let you know what it is that you're praying out. He'll let you know what it is that you were saying in the spirit. But you have to be sensitive to him. To be sensitive to him, you have to know what the words say. You follow what I'm saying? The spirit not going to speak away from the word, and the word is not going to speak away from the spirit. They both come together. It's like faith and patience. They work together. You understand what I'm saying? When you put it all together, you got grace, you got faith, you got hope, you got love, you got all the fruits of it. They all work together. Sometimes we try to teach them in a manner that they give you more light and understanding of each of the subject that we talk about. But in actuality, none of them works without each other, because they're all up under the grace of God. And so here, when Paul said that you present your body a living sacrifice, all your members and faculty as a living sacrifice, holy, notice it, devoted, consecrated, see, devoted, consecrated, mean every day I got to present this body. I can't let yesterday good be good for today. No, yesterday was for yesterday. Today is for today. So now I got to consecrate. I got to dedicate my body today. Why? Because again, that was there. The devil's the same old devil. But if I hadn't exercised my senses under holiness, that I'm going to be like Christ today. I'm consecrating myself to be like Christ. Then the enemy know how, notice this, he will use your thought life. If you open the door, and he will use your emotion where your senses are more active, and one of the most active of one is your feelings. He will excite your feelings about something that you should not have feelings for. He will excite your thoughts on something that you should not be thinking on. Why? Because you didn't dedicate. You didn't consecrate yourself today. And, you know, and you'll always go back, you know, and I'm speaking from experience because, you know, I was saying, well, Lord, I did this yesterday. Lord, I did, you know, well, I've learned some things and stumbled on some things as I move forward with God. And now I understand, nope, I got to dedicate myself every day. I got to consecrate myself every day. Not my spirit. My spirit is 100% like God. I can't present it. I can't dedicate it. I can't consecrate it no more than what it is. It is what it is. It is 100% God-proof. But my soul is not. Soul salvation is something that you and I have to work with, work on all the time. And if you think that you can just exercise your faith or whatnot based on something, you know, where you've been, you may still know what the scripture say, but you don't have no power to carry out. That scripture has no power because why? You're not the same person. You're not in that same spiritual place where you were when you released faith-filled words. So you can speak the same word and not be filled. You know what I mean by faith-filled? I'm not just being again, praying in tongue is what activates. So when someone say they, you know, I'm spirit filled, but yet they behaving as one that has been uncircumcised, you know, one that has not exercised their senses under holiness, that's one that has not given himself, consecrated themselves, and recognized that if I'm going to stay on top, if I'm going to be a representative for the Lord Jesus Christ, I got to put under my body. I have to do that every day. Because if you don't, when I say put under my body, put my thought life, my choices, my emotion. If I don't do that, then guess what? The old me, and meaning through the old soulish man, because it will reignite itself. It will reintroduce itself being mean, being vindictive, being whatever. So it never ceases to be evil. It never ceases to be self-righteous. Because why? The soul has not been radically changed by the word of God yet. Now, it's been paid for. But we can take the word of God right now. And that word will be able to wash, cleanse away all unrighteous thoughts. Why? Because I'm drawing out of a well, which is my born-again spirit that's born of God, that has the fullness of the life of God in it. I'm drawing from it, and notice what it's doing. It's cleansing my soul. It's cleansing my understanding. So when I'm praying in tongue, notice this. Again, when I'm praying in tongue, it's an outward sign to let me know that what I'm practicing godliness. I can practice the laws of God's word to do what? To live right. Can you see what I'm saying? It's not just praying in tongue to say, well, I'm spirit filled. Well, look, just because somebody say they pray in tongue, there are going to be attributes of change. Are you following me? Let me try to relate it to something that we do all the time. I don't know what your skills are, But you know, if you were a well, just like me, I'm a Bible teacher. Well, if I don't take time, the gift to teach is without repentance. The gifts and calling, no matter what it is that God put in you, you'll be able to do them. But the reason you're able to do them, because why? It's something God gave. He doesn't take back. But now the effectiveness of the gift whereby you live by, it's going to result in your life. It's going to show up. You're going to say, well, how could this brother be so anointed teaching the word? And you know, my life changed from it. And look what happened to him, because he didn't practice it. He didn't open himself up to you to apply the same word to himself as he did to as the gift that was in him to give to you. You received it. I can't tell you how many ministers are affected by what I just said. And you can apply that in any area of your life. I don't care if you could be, you know, you could be an educator. You could be one that's in politics. You could be in arts and entertainment, whatever God called you to be. If you don't apply it to yourself, you'll find out that everyone else enjoyed it, but when it comes to you to experience it, you were empty, you were dry. And I can't tell you, you know, you don't have an empty spirit, but you can have an empty soul. An empty soul is, it's like, I know what it said, but you have no power to make it change. You have no power to change. That's where the Holy Ghost comes in. Because see, what he's going to do, he is going to do what? Jesus said, okay, I got you holding there. Let me look at John chapter 6 for a moment. Not John, 16, John 16. Look at John 16 for a moment. Look, this is the purpose. This is the attribute of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was saying, when he said, it's expedient that I must go away. He said, if I don't go away, the Father can't send the other comforter. In other words, Jesus was saying, this is how I live my life. I depended upon the Holy Ghost. But now, look at this here in John 16, and we'll get more in depth in these, but notice it for time's sake. Look here at verse 13. It says, when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, you see that? That's what we're talking about. He's the truth-giving Spirit. Notice this, come, he will guide you. The first thing he's going to do, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth. For he will not speak of his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. He will, notice it, he will honor and glorify me. You hear that? Jesus speaking. He will honor and glorify me because he will take of, notice it, receive and draw up on what is mine. What the Holy Spirit going to do? He's going to take, he's going to receive, he's going to draw up on what is mine, and he will what? Reveal and declare and disclose and transmit it to you. So this is why you and I pray in tongues. What is the reason for praying in tongues? So it could shut down my natural mind, because my natural mind already got its way of thinking. That's why we fight in our mind so much. Because sometimes your tradition, your way of thinking, your way of living, your way of belief, it will fight. So you have to have a force that's going to shut down your understanding and draw forth. Because when you're praying in tongue as a believer, like when I'm sitting, if I'm praying in tongue, guess what it's doing? It's going to testify the scripture that I just read to you. Notice what he said? He will honor and glorify me because he will take of, receive, draw up on what is mine and will reveal and declare and disclose and transmit it to you. See, you can't do it when your mind is already filled with yourself, because you're going to fight it. You're going to resist it. But when you start praying in another's tongue, it turns it off. And now you're drawing, you're receiving life, the very image, the very essence of God that's already in you. You're drawing from that well, and guess what it's doing? It's giving you now, you know how the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we having the mind of Christ. But you see, you have two minds. You got one spirit that's born of God, but you have your mindset, and then you have the mind of Christ. You will not walk in the mind of Christ without the help of the Holy Ghost. You know what it says. I know what it says. But how many times we become powerless of not being able to walk it out, not being able to stand on the promise. Well, what is that? What's the absence? The absence here is not relying upon the Holy Spirit, not praying in that gift. Notice what I said in Ephesians 3. And notice what I'm doing. I'm keeping Romans 11. Well, I think I'm through with Romans 12. But Romans 12 and Ephesians 3, if we go back to Ephesians 3 and we look at verse 16 again, and this is out of the Classic Amplified Bible that I'm reading from. He said, may he grant you out of the rich treasure of his glory. Now, who's that? That's God granting you and I out of the rich treasure of his glory. That means the manifested present, meaning I have already destroyed the works of the devil. And it is when you pray this spirit-filled prayer, it's going to enlighten you. It's going to reveal to you. That's why when you pray in another tongue, that's why it takes your mind out. And then all of a sudden you begin to get an image of something that you didn't have, an image of how you will be delivered, an image of how God promote, how God will open a door to you. And it just like say, wow. Well, it's like say, wow, where did that come from? How did I get that? Well, that came from you. Your natural mind was shut down. Your natural mind was shut down. And what it did, it gave you, the word itself gave you an image. Like, for an example, apple. Well, you can see it right now. You can see an apple right now. Whether it be whatever apple you're accustomed to seeing, a small apple, a little yellow apple, a big red juicy apple. But what if I say, I want you to think about, a big red juicy apple. Well, because you know what an apple look like, everyone can see that. Well, that's what words do. God's word give you the image. God's word give you a likeness to do what? To perceive. And it shuts off your understanding of that wants you to live in doubt, that want to hold you hostage to fear, that want to hold you hostage to your own activity. And what it does, it puts you in a place that when you're praying in the spirit, all of a sudden you saw something that you didn't see with your natural eye. And you'll be aware, and you'll ask somebody who's sitting there, did you see that? Did you hear that? And nobody, but why? Because it came from within. It was loud enough. It had enough clarity. It gave you enough understand that it shook you from the inside. What is it doing? It's holding you steady to do what? So that you will now begin to start investigating. You begin to start looking at these truths. Why? Because that's what the anointing does. It whets your appetite just enough to get to stir you up on the inside. And now you start searching the scripture. Now you start listening to the lesson about being filled with the Spirit. Now you start understanding just praying in tongues is not just something we do. People say, well, yeah, I'm full of the Spirit. But when you fill with the Spirit, guess what it does? It changed your life. It's a life changer. It's like me eating food. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is what he just gave me. It's like eating food. Well, you can't see what the food is doing on the inside. But when I eat it, it releases that I'm no longer hungry. Well, when I pray in other tongues, guess what it does? It brings forth an understanding on the inside. I can't see what it's doing on the inside. I can't see, but all of a sudden when I open my mouth, because why? I'm exercising my soul or my mind under holiness. When I say holiness, to be like him, to speak like him. Are you following what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, you become aware and say, whoa. And you recognize that, I know that didn't come from me. That's not my thought. That's not my personality. But what is happening? It's the same way when you're eating food. All of a sudden you start eating the right food, and all of a sudden the body starts feeling better. The body starts being strengthened. The little pain, the ache, or whatever you had that was going, it's no longer that because you changed the diet. You couldn't see what it was doing, but you know because you put it in, you could feel the effect. Well, it's the same with praying in the Spirit. Because what does most people say? Man, I can't figure out. It don't make no sense. Well, you eat food. Does it make sense? You can't see what it's doing. But what's the first thing it does? It lets you know I'm full. Well, when you pray another tongue, when I come to a place of abrupt stop when I'm praying in the Spirit, it let me know I'm full. What am I doing? I'm exercising of the renewing of my mind enough to where I'm giving the Spirit enough fuel to change my thought life, to strengthen me to walk in love, even when someone is not lovable. See, your action won't affect my stance. Why? Because I dedicate my body. What the scripture said here in Romans 12:1, it says, therefore, brethren, I beg of you in view of all the mercies of God that you make a decisive dedication of your body, presenting, watch this, all your members, your faculty as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, and consecrated and well-pleasing to God, which is what? My reasonable or rational intelligent, it means service and spiritual worship. That's your spiritual worship. Your spiritual worship is to present your body a living sacrifice. Will it affect you going to heaven? No. But it affects relationships out here. It affects the gift that God put in your life from springing forth in a manner that it should. God has already forgiven you. So you're not violating God. But what you're violating people, because God put us here to do it, that our life is to make a difference in other people's lives. The life of Christ, the godliness of whose we are. When we exercise the fruit of the Spirit of walking in God's love, and when you walk in God's love, peace will be there, joy will be there, gentleness will be there, self-control will be there. You understand what I'm saying? All of these things will be active. Why? Because I took time to yield myself to the Spirit of God. I took time to dedicate myself today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't even think about what happened yesterday. All you and I have right now is what? Today and right now. And so because we have today and right now, that's what you dedicate. That's what you consecrate. That's what you make alive. And then as you do that, when you take time, because you say, when you read the word, you look at it and say, Lord, how can I renew my mind? You know, I got so many things going on. How can this happen? That's why you pray in tongues. Because what does tongue do? It take away, it shut down everything, because see, when you know you have a problem and you're trying to figure it out, you're trying to break that stronghold, you're trying to break that off of you, and you know you may do okay for a couple of days, but guess what? You find yourself going right back to it. Why? Because there's no force in you that can overpower self-will but the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the only agent that's in the soulless part of you and I that can make an effective change. You can't make an effective change on your own. So when you start praying in the Spirit and you consecrate yourself before God and dedicating yourself before God in the thing that you struggle with, watch. Watch the power of God, like a surge of power, come from within you. Again, you can't see what it's doing. Just like food, when it goes into your stomach, you can't see how it's broken down. Just think about it. You can eat a pork chop. You can eat a piece of potato. You may even like a little macaroni, whatever. And all that going down in there. How is all that being broken down? You can't see it. But you know it's being broken down because you're receiving the strength from it. And you're able to get up and physically go on and do what you got to do. Well, when you pray in the other tongue, that's your food. When you pray in the Spirit, it is exercising godliness. Are you understand what I'm saying? It is exercising godliness. It is giving you the strength to restrain from being rude. It is giving you the strength to restrain from walking in self-righteousness. It is giving you the strength to restrain from any addictive thing in this life that you know is taking control of your life, because you can't stop it on your own. There are many believers that are going to be with the Lord. You know, their smoking didn't stop God from loving them and bringing them to heaven, but they just went to heaven before time. Drugs, alcohol, no, that won't affect your salvation. But it may get you there. You may get there sooner than you intended to. I mean, when you go into the store on the counter, they got on the counter. One of them stores I saw, how a person buys a cigarette and they got that big old sign. They don't even pay attention to it. It's telling you, the warning telling you what it's going to do to you. And yet people still buy them. See, that's what blindness does. They can see it with their natural eye, but their understanding is unfruitful. Why? Because until somebody tells them, this smoking has caused lung cancer, if you don't stop, this is the outcome. Well, now the understanding's been awakened, and now they're looking to do something radical. The only radical thing that I know to do is to come to the Word of God. Are y'all following what I'm saying? See, the eyes of your understanding can be shut off. Something right in your face can tell you what the effect is, but you ignore it until you can't anymore. What I'm saying to you is this. As a believer, as a Spirit-filled believer, and if you don't pray in tongues, I challenge you. Right where you sit, when you get off this feed, I challenge you. Sit there. You may not have been praying in tongues for a while. You may only be. So just take 5 minutes. Pray in the Spirit. And watch your mind shut off. Watch all the things that will try to come against you to stop you from doing it. And don't sit down and try to pray, because you might go to sleep. Or your phone. Cut it off. Because those distractions, I'm telling you, the moment you have direction, and the enemy knows it, the moment you find direction, watch the distraction kick up. Watch it kick up. I mean, it just kick up like a storm. Why? Because it don't want you to find. This is the answer. And once you find that answer and you begin to recognize and see it, that's what Satan is afraid of. Because now you're going to know how to cream his head. And that he don't want you to know. He don't want you to know you already you already got the victory. You already, you know, you're already the one that's walking in control. But with an unrenewed mindset, that's what the power of the Holy Ghost does. That's why Paul was talking about exercising your soul unto godliness. Why? Because the life of Christ that's in your born again spirit, that's the godliness to be like Christ. That's what come forth from you, out of you, and it holds you. It gives you stability in your soul. And that's what caused you to move forward. Well, look, I've been going 50 minutes. I didn't realize I've been going that long. I don't know whether this helping you. Are you getting this? But at the end of this lesson, you'll be able to upload, go to Grace Institute Online Bible School. It's a podcast. And you'll be able to upload this lesson today. And you can go back and listen to it again over and over. And go back and look at the scriptures. And I read these, all the scriptures I read to you today come out of the Classic Amplified Bible. Whatever version you have, look at it, use it. Go back and look at it and read it. And read it. And I challenge you, take time and pray in tongues and watch what it does to your natural mind. Your natural mind gonna fight. But you know you need change. But it don't want you to change in that way. It wants something to be physical. It wants something that you can feel, and it ain't going to be that. Amen. Well, I love you. I thank God for you. If you have any questions about the lesson, remember, you can always put it on the screen. Or you can text me or call me, and I'll walk you through to the best of my ability. Well, I love you. I thank God for you. And, you know, partnering with us, if you love to give into, thank you, Pastor Carl. Appreciate it, brother. If you love to sow into the favorite church, if this lesson has blessed you, help you, increase you, and you love to be a blessing, you know, just cash out the favorite church. We're using all financial resources, again, to continue to help us to run the ministry, the building, the upkeep, and everything that goes along with it. And that's what you'll see this far. And so it keeps the doors open and it keeps people coming in. And when people's lives are transformed by the word of God, well, guess what? You'll see help brought forth that transformation. You are helping us by sowing into something that is of the kingdom of God. Amen. So I don't need the building to do what I do, but God need the building because why? He need to bring people outside from outside the world inside of a place where they can have a place, they can shut down the world and they can listen to the word of God, and then they can go back outside and become a weapon for the kingdom of God. So that's what our church building is for. I think that's any pastor or whatever have a building. They know that's what the building is for. The building is not God. I mean, it's not the church, but we call it the church. Because it's a place that you can come and, you know, specifically you're going to be taught and should be taught and trained so that you can go back and execute in the world. Amen. So we love you. We thank God for you. And as we always say, until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. Love you now. God willing, we'll do it again tomorrow. Bye-bye, everyone.